This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session was a message that was first published in the month of August of the year 2021, and it's being put on audio in the month of September of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse number 14. If you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. The title for this message, All or Nothing. You can't pick and choose. Okay. The message for this month has to do with a condition people all over the world have concerning what is right and wrong, and how it affects their lives and the lives of others. From the offset, let me say that doing the right thing when it comes to how you treat others is an honorable thing to do, and as such, there is no problem with that. However, there is a problem when it concerns your motivation for doing it. I have addressed this scripture before. However, God has impressed on me to address it again, but from a slightly different perspective. Let me explain just exactly what this scripture is saying and why it is important. What it is saying is that when Gentiles, who by definition are people who have no connection to God, are doing things that God calls on His people to do, He, God does not recognize them strictly because he is not their Lord or their God. Let me give you an example. Have you ever walked into a store and seen that someone has knocked some of the items off of the shelf in an aisle and you pick them up and put them back on the shelf? What you have just done is something that the store pays an employee to do. Now, just because you did something the store pays its employees to do, I don't think you would go to the manager of the store and demand to be paid for doing something that you were not hired to do. Now, as simple as this is to understand, I would say it is totally ludicrous for anyone to expect payment for doing such a thing. Yet, would you believe that is exactly what the vast majority of people in this nation and around the world do every day concerning God's moral laws? Now, just like in the case of the store, you could pick the items up or just leave them there for someone else to pick them up. That is totally up to you. Well, what this scripture is saying is that in the case of God's people and the Gentiles, his people are commanded to do these things as a sign of obedience to him, while the Gentiles are not. Now, while I started out addressing this fact of the entirety of humanity, I want to narrow it down to one group of people that are more closer to me than other races and nations, and that is the black community. I get asked time and again, why is it that I pick on the black community so much when others are just as bad as what I am getting on my community about? My response is because I am black. That, my friends, is the main qualification. I have walked as a black man for nearly 75, well, let's put it this way, now it's 78 years. It will be 78 at the end of this month, God willing. I have seen and experienced a lot during that time. And because of that, I can say I am more than qualified to say what I am saying, even more so than many of those who are out there proclaiming that they are that they have the experience. If I were a person of another race, more specifically white, I know what I would be hearing. And you do too. Racist. How are you going to tell me as a black person how I should respond to the culture today when you haven't had to go through what I have had to face every day because I am black? They ask. Well, you can't use that argument on me. And this is one of the main problems we have in our community. We want to excuse our behavior and choices based on our past experiences. While this might sound like a legitimate argument to you, in the eyes of God, it is moot. Why? Because if you are a child of God and have studied His Word, you will know that there is nothing that befalls any of us that someone else has not already experienced. Not only that, but their responses to those that challenges were a whole lot more in line with what he says is right and wrong than what the black community is doing. Let me repeat that. Not only that, but their responses to those challenges were a lot more in line with what God says is right and wrong than what the black community is doing. Now, getting back to the message. So we have people that may or may not be doing some things good, but they only do it because they feel it is all right. If it weren't for that, they would ignore it completely because it goes against their feelings about the matter. This is what the scripture is talking about. The people are choosing to do what is right in their eyes as opposed to doing what is right because God commands them to do it. That's the difference. If you are a Christian, then you are supposed to obey and follow God's direction. Obviously, if you are not, then he has no control over you and your actions. He is not going to make you or his children follow his commandments. We are all free to choose. However, the obedient, studious Christian understands the consequences of those decisions and chooses to obey them to the best of their ability. The same can't be said for the Gentiles. They have the ability to obey those same commandments, but they choose which ones to go along with and which ones to discard. When a person does this, they are essentially making themselves a god over their own lives and not God. If you have noticed, most of these people have no problem quoting and following passages of scripture that they believe promises some sort of blessing or gives the idea that they can live their lives as they see fit and still be on their way to heaven. What they fail to realize is that all of those scriptures come with prerequisites which they choose to ignore if they even know that they exist. For those that don't know what a prerequisite is, it is a condition that has to be met before those blessings will be bestowed on an individual. The first and primary prerequisite is you must be born again. That means you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you do this, you have become a child of God or a Christian. Once again, most people call themselves God's child when in reality they are children of the flesh. This is because it is their flesh that controls the decisions that they make and live by. This brings up another point that needs to be looked at, and that is Christians that are, as the Bible describes them, carnally minded. A carnally minded Christian is one who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, but makes a lot of their decisions based on what their flesh is telling them. Now the thing is, if a Christian is going to act and think like a Gentile, then they are going to be subject to the same things the Gentiles are. God doesn't play favorites to the standpoint that he will overlook this type of behavior from his children. He will, however, extend grace to them based on the criteria that the person may not know that they are being carnally minded. Just because a person has accepted Christ does not mean that they automatically know all of what is right and wrong in his sight. It is a learning process. Just as babies have to learn over time what is right and wrong, so does the new or baby Christian. And the only way to do that is to study the Word of God, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You can't know all that God wants you to know unless you study. That includes spending time with him by reading the Bible, prayer, and asking questions. It is through these activities and how committed you are to learning the truth so you can get in line with them that will show God just how committed you are to him, which will then determine how much blessing you will get. Each person is different, and as such, some will be recipients of more blessings than others based not on how long they have been a Christian, but on how diligent they are in being obedient to him. This is why there is no such contention, or this is why there is so much contention, jealousy, strife, and such among Christians. Many figure that because they have been saved longer than someone else, that person can't tell them anything. Therefore, they need to sit down and shut up. This is carnal mindedness, because God knows who is and is not ready for what, and will reward a person based on that. When a person only considers what they feel is what they deserve, that is the flesh controlling them. I know saints that have been walking with the Lord for well over 40 years who are essentially babies in the eyes of God, based solely on the fact that they think and act like a person that has accepted Christ recently. By the same token, I know others who have been saved a few years, who, because of their diligence and commitment to Christ, have left many of those old-timers in the dust when it comes to the knowledge and blessings. And because of this, God has placed them in higher offices in the church, and the older folk can't stand it. A lot of this type of reaction occurs When a young person is anointed by God to be a pastor over someone who is seniority and is well liked by those around him. Therefore, many will leave the church or try to oust the new pastor. What they don't realize is, since this young man was anointed by God for this position, and the people refuse to accept him, they are in effect rejecting Christ. And if they are rejecting him, then they are in serious trouble. This is why it is so important for those that name the name of Christ to study the Bible thoroughly, so that they can see what happens to those that reject his choices of leadership over them. One only has to look at the problems the children of Israel had with the likes of Moses, Joshua, David, and such, as well as Christ, when it came to what they were telling them, the people, that they needed to do to be pleasing to God. They rebelled, and in the end, paid the price. Then we have a person like the Apostle Paul, who carried this rebellion to the extreme until Christ personally confronted him and turned him into one of his greatest followers. That's right. Despite how devilish you are, you or someone else may be, Christ can still work a miracle in your life, turn you around, and use you for his glory. After this change, he, Paul, became a hunted man on the one hand, and many saints wanted to have nothing to do with him out of fear. Have you ever seen someone who was once one of the biggest devils on the streets get transformed into one of the most powerful spokespersons for Christ? That is what he has done for a lot of us. And you need to be careful in your actions towards them. You might just be rejecting Christ. But you won't know that if you aren't studying his word or being led by someone who is. A lot of us blacks, sad to say, are listening to and following people based on their flesh, who are in reality no more knowledgeable than they are when it comes to Christ, and are paying a terrible price for it. Are you hearing me, black community? You want to know why you're catching all this hell? Look in the mirror. Then look at the black leadership. You will have your answer. You are picking and choosing who you want to believe and follow, and what is and is not acceptable to your flesh. You can go out and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, support the homeless, and all the other good things, and in the end bust hell wide open, all because you picked and chose which laws you wanted to live by or reject. Choose this day what you want to do. Well, that's all for this message, and I hope that you picked up some things from it. Like I said, I deal with the black community other communities have their had their problems and things as well, and people in those communities that are in pastoral leaderships and things, a lot of their leadership are dealing with them and telling them what is what's right and wrong for them. But you see, when it come down to the black community, we got this thing about anybody outside of our community trying to tell us what we should and should not be doing according to the Bible, because in a lot of people's eyes, and I know you've heard it before, that the white man wrote the Bible to keep the black man down and all that other good stuff. Well, you believe that if you want, but that's why God put black men in the black community and put them in the position to tell the black community what they need to hear. But as in all cases, we are few and far between. For every one of us that is telling you the truth of God's word, somebody that's trying to get you to turn around and get off that path that you're on, you got over 100 other preachers that are telling you that those of us that are telling you to quit and turn around, we don't know what we're talking about. We aren't saved. We listening to the white man. We've been corrupted by the Republicans or Donald Trump or the religious right. It's always something that they will come up with because of what? The threat that you present to their leadership over the black community, or we rather, people like myself that are evangelists and so forth that are standing on the word of God, we represent a major threat to these people because they're getting rewarded, they're getting paid and getting benefits and things from the world, from the ungodly, to continue to say what they're saying and do what they're doing, which quite frankly is leading the black community to its own self-destruction. You know, I heard one brother say a long time ago, and basically he was saying the same thing I was thinking. Because actually, to come to think about it, at one time, Jesse Jackson even made the same statement, and he got ostracized for it until he got back in line. And that is, he said, the days of the threat to the black community being somebody riding through the neighborhood dressed in a white sheet with a hood over their head and things like that. He said that used to be a danger, but it's not anymore. He said the biggest danger that we have now is some brother that is a hood going around in the neighborhood causing all sorts of problems and things like that. I was surprised to hear Jesse. When I heard that, I like to fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe that I was listening to him say that. And then after he said that, nobody heard anything from Jesse for another 1 year or so. And when he came back online, he was basically, he had toned it down some, and he very seldom was being called on to do a lot of speaking, you know, because people were afraid he might get up, I guess, evidently, and say something that would bring back the idea of what he said earlier. But he was telling the truth. And that is the biggest problem that black folks have today is not the KKK, some white person riding through the neighborhood with a hood over his head. No, it's some brother that is a hood riding through the neighborhood doing drive-by shootings and muggings and things like that. But, you know, all of that's part and parcel of the fact that if the church were doing the job, if the preachers were doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, then the neighborhood wouldn't tolerate that type of mess going on in it, and we could have nice, peaceful, quiet neighborhoods. But you can't have that when you've got preachers entertaining and people that are involved in things that are helping to corrupt the community and corrupt our youth and things, and then when they get out here and cause all this problems, and then the police come to try to arrest the person, then they want to come out there and jump on the police and claim police brutality, or what's the other thing, stopping a person and frisking them just because they black. I mean, you know, if I'm a black person and I'm in the neighborhood, in the hood, and I'm a black person, let's face it, you and I both know I don't know of any white person that's going to come into a black neighborhood and try to rob, break in somebody's house, or rip somebody off in the hood. They might do it if they see them out in their areas, out in the white areas and things like that. But they ain't gonna be in the hood. The only ones that's doing any criminal activity in the hood is black folks. Yet and still, when the police are giving a description of an assailant or something like that, and you know, you can go down any street just about, especially during the summer, and suppose the person say, well, the person that ripped us off was about 25 and 30 years old, or might be 25-20 years old, something like that, and they about 5'9" and maybe slim build or something like that, and that they black. And then so the police start trying, you know, stopping black people that fit that description. And then we got these civil rights leaders going around talking about the police officers are stopping people because they black, driving while black, walking while black, or whatever else while black, I guess using the bathroom while black, or whatever the case may be. Well, who else is going to be? You ain't going to be looking for no white person in the black neighborhood. But you see where the problem lies there. Anyway, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And as usual, let me just say, I hope you take heed to what you heard today, because it's very important. But anyway, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.